at mathnasium.com.
Sober as a program devoted to bringing hope to those struggling with mental health issues and addiction. Through candid conversations with guests about mental health issues, addiction, and sobriety, we can let those who are struggling know that they are not alone. I am your host, Ralph Sara.
The Anonymous Eskimo Project. Tune in Thursdays, 5:30 p.m. on KSTK 101.7 FM.
Morning news on KSTK is supported in part by Wrangell Insurance. Are you a collector? Whether you collect stamps, teacups, fishing lures, or silver spoons, your collection may have value and can be insured. The agents at Wrangell Insurance are experienced at insuring all kinds of collections. Wrangell Insurance can be reached at 907-874-2359 or on the web at www.p-wins.com.
Current weather conditions in Wrangell, about 46 degrees outside, mostly cloudy. Today, mostly sunny with highs near 56. Calm wind becoming northeast around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, lows around 41. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming calm in the evening. Thursday, sunshine, highs near 59, calm wind. Friday, mostly sunny with highs near 62, east wind around 5 miles per hour. Saturday, mostly cloudy with highs near 59. Sunday, rain, cloudy, highs near 54. Monday, showers likely, cloudy, highs near 50. Tuesday, showers likely, mostly cloudy with highs near 54. Moving on to our regional statewide news, the Juneau Assembly rejected a symbolic resolution calling for a bilateral peace agreement between Israel and Palestine in a 2-5 vote on Monday night. As KTOO's Clarice Larson reports, testifiers say they were given false hope by some Assembly members.
Residents packed the Assembly chambers during the meeting, and more than a dozen testified in favor of the resolution. Many wore the colors of the flag of Palestine and shirts with the message, "Cease fire now." After the vote, which came at nearly 11 p.m., multiple people with a group called Juno for Palestine said they felt misled by the assembly.
I feel powerless. Like, what can I do? I can talk to my assembly members. I can talk to my legislators. We talked with Mary Peltola a couple of months ago. Not a single person is listening to us.
That's Sonia Kumar, who is one of the multiple residents who has attended assembly meetings in recent months to advocate for a resolution. Dozens of cities in the U.S. have passed local resolutions calling for a ceasefire. And last month, the Anchorage Assembly passed one to, quote, support negotiations which will lead to lasting peace in the Israel-Hamas conflict. George Partlow said he was testifying Monday night on behalf of his great-grandchildren.
When my great-grandchildren read of the history of this time and of the suffering of other children, Palestinians and Israelis, and ask, "What did you do about it?" I hope the answer will be, "At least we spoke out against the violence."
Assemblymember Paul Kelly introduced the resolution, but he ultimately voted against it. In an interview after the meeting, he says he should have brought it to a committee first so it could have been discussed and workshopped before going to the full assembly.
In retrospect, I probably should have asked it to be introduced out of committee. I do regret that, yes.
Some testifiers were upset with Kelly, along with Assemblymember Wade Bryson, who they said was playing on his phone instead of listening during the meeting. Assemblymember Christine Wall has long advocated for the Assembly to support a ceasefire resolution. She said it's the Assembly's job to listen to their constituents and their concerns.
Local voices speaking up is actually the only thing that is going to change the trajectory of our government's actions on this. And you know, we do have a responsibility to be responsive to the people coming and speaking to us.
Assemblymember Greg Smith said he didn't believe the Assembly should be weighing in on international issues. Despite that, he was one of the two members who voted in favor.
We all want peace in the Middle East. I think we all want people to stop dying in Gaza. But the Juneau Assembly should, I believe, focus its time and energy on things that we can actually make an actual impact on. And I have concerns on precedent for this.
Kumar says she and others, a part of Juneau for Palestine, plan to continue to testify for city action at future meetings. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
In other news, the Alaska Railroad Company is moving forward with plans to replace a nearly 60-year-old passenger dock in Seward. The $137 million project is for one of three docks in the city operated by the company and handles all of Seward's cruise ships. Alaska Railroad Company External Affairs Director Megan Clemens says putting in a new dock is overdue.
We're looking at this investment as a 50-year asset for Seward. And to that end, we want to be sure that this new dock is going to be able to accommodate growth into the future as that works for both the industry and for Seward and the Kenai Peninsula.
The proposed project includes almost 750 feet of floating dock and 60,000 square foot terminal building. While the planned dock is only slightly longer than the existing one, the new terminal would be more than double the size of the current building. Local developer, the Seward Company, designed the space large enough to hold all cruise ships that sail the state now. Clemens says the terminal building, which also acts as a transition space for cruise passengers in the summer, will serve more than just tourists.
We think it's both going to serve customers as they're embarking or disembarking on the cruise ship, as well as be a great asset for the community of Seward that holds a lot of community events at the terminal building during the off-season.
The project is being funded by revenue bonds, which must be approved by the state legislature. The legislature approved $60 million in bonds for the project in 2022, and the railroad company requested additional bonds worth $75 million this year. House Bill 122 and Senate Bill 105 are currently in House and Senate Finance Committees, respectively. Passing the bills will allow the company to take on the bonds to fund the project. No state funds will go towards the project. To secure the debt from the bonds, the company signed a 30-year agreement with cruise ship company Royal Caribbean International. This commits the cruise line to using the dock throughout that time and guarantees the minimum amount of money needed each year to pay off the debt. Clemens says an agreement of this length is unprecedented in the state. According to a port schedule from Cruise Lines International Association, a trade group for cruise lines that Royal Caribbean is a member of, Royal Caribbean cruise ship Radiance of the Seas is scheduled to stop in Seward 10 times this season. Last year, 87 cruise ships went through the docks, bringing nearly 200,000 people to the coastal community, according to a press release from the railroad company. If the legislature approves the additional bonds, construction is slated to begin in the fall of 2025 with the goal to open the following summer. Before the bear season gets rolling, a group of Wrangell High School students has been working at the Ann Ann Bear Observatory about 30 miles from downtown Wrangell. They've been collaborating with the U.S. Forest Service to set up live bear cameras. KCK's Colette Zarnicki joined them on one of their trips to get a sneak peek at their project.
Our captain drops us off at the trailhead at Ann Ann Bay. It's a sunny and dry day, but the ground still feels moist. After all, we're in the Tongass National Rainforest. Downed trees are blanketed with moss, and Usnea, also called Old Man's Beard, hangs from the tall evergreen trees. From the boat, it's about a quarter-mile hike to the observation deck.
If we did see a bear, we're going to group up.
Jen Cardiac is the Ann Ann Camp Manager for the U.S. Forest Service.
I'll start talking to it, and then I'll gauge if we need to back up to give it some room to either go up or down the side of the trail, but most important,
don't scream or don't run, and we all see together.
Cardiac is leading us along the gravel trail that winds through the trees. There are 6 high school students today, but 14 have been working on the project. Also along are Forest Service workers and educators with T3 Alliance, which stands for Teaching Through Technologies. T3 Alliance has been teaching the Wrangell students STEM skills, or what's science, technology, engineering, and math. The collaboration between the school, the Forest Service, and T3 is a 5-year program funded through a $300,000 grant. Claire Froelich is a park ranger with the U.S. Forest Service. She says getting the work done before bear season picks up makes it easier on everyone.
With the bears and everything, it becomes harder because then every trip to point A to B is its own challenge of safety and everything. And then getting large equipment out here for bringing a bunch of solar panels, you probably wouldn't want to do that like right before the season, because that's not, you know. So all of those things need to happen now.
A drone flies past the deck and overhead above the swiftly flowing river. Students are getting visuals of the area to find the best spots to set up live cameras. Jackson Carney is a freshman in high school, and it's his first project with the group.
We want a fish cam, we want one up here, and we want another one somewhere. We're not 100% sure about that one. The bottom one's on the observation deck. We actually have to wait until construction is done to place.
Junior Andrew Edens received his drone pilot license through T3. He's been involved with T3 for the past 2 years. He started working on Annan this past December. He says the ultimate goal is to get 5 cameras installed, but this year they're focusing on just 2.
I really love this planning phase, but I really do want to push forward to installation, just like get everything ready, keep moving, and then of course next year we're going to have a really another challenging project within this project still.
That's phase 2, where they will be setting up a camera about 2,000 feet northeast from the observatory deck at Upward Falls. The students split into 2 teams of 3 and start working on their goals: power, Starlink internet, 12 solar panels, and camera placement. As they're discussing where to place conduit connections, Cardiac gives a few suggestions. She says to make sure the wires are in metal because bears love anything that has a plastic, oily taste.
Just be cognizant that bears are like puppies. They will chew on everything.
She also has a fun suggestion on where to place one of the cameras.
Now we want to not only provide the viewing opportunity of the salmon, because it can be really cool to see the bear claw come in and catch a fish when the camera's focused on it, but also now just for outreach, because there are people that will never make it to Alaska.
Brian Reggiani is here with the University of Alaska Fairbanks Upward Bound. He also works with T3.
One of the things that we found that really makes a difference is these community impact projects. So anytime that students can be working on a project that helps their community, it really helps helps them with buy-in, and they're really excited to learn and grow and help out.
Freshman Madeline Davies joined the T3 program about a month ago.
We've got a lot of measurements for like where we can place solar panels and their wires, like how it's going to run unseen.
Yeah, we got some ideas on how to like connect everything and how it's all going to work out.
And that's 10th grader Kaylee Herman. They're working together as a team. The students decided to place one camera showing the caves where the bears like to hang out, and the other will be an underwater fish camera. They also ordered all the equipment needed to complete the project. Besides the bear cams, Edens and other students also designed a Forest Service cabin at Little Lakes in Wrangell. It will be constructed this summer. The students will eventually earn a badge, which is a type of engineering certification that says they worked on a large project. They'll also get engineering credits. In Wrangell, I'm Colette Zarnicki.
That wraps up our local, regional, and statewide report. Stay with us for Wrangell's community calendar right after Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. Most electric vehicles on the road today are powered by batteries, But battery EVs are not the only EVs. Fuel cell EVs run on hydrogen gas, which mixes with oxygen in a chemical reaction to create electricity. The hydrogen is stored in a tank on board the vehicle.
So it's very much like gassing up a car right now, in that you pull into a station, you attach a nozzle, this time for a high-pressure gas as opposed to a liquid, and you refuel in a matter of minutes.
Seth Terry is co-founder of New Day Hydrogen, a startup that's developing hydrogen fueling stations, which remain rare outside California. He says fuel cell vehicles have some advantages over battery EVs, especially for trucking. Fueling up is quicker than charging. The vehicles can go several hundred miles on a tank, and they're not weighed down by heavy batteries.
And for that reason, you can carry more cargo.
Like battery EVs, fuel cell vehicles do not emit climate-warming tailpipe pollution when driven. But conventional ways of producing the hydrogen gas the vehicles run on do create carbon pollution. So Terry says it will be important to instead produce hydrogen using clean, renewable energy, maximizing the climate benefits that fuel cell EVs can provide. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Wrangle, and friends from near and far for pledging your support to public radio this spring. The goal of $21,000 has yet to be met. If you haven't pledged support to public radio in Wrangle, please consider doing your part. Donate anytime at ksdk.org or call the station during business hours at 907-874-2345. Taking a look at what's happening in the Wrangell community calendar, Parks and Rec is conducting lifeguard training this week. To accommodate the required training, Parks and Rec needs to cancel the following swim times. Thursday evening lap swim, May 2nd, 5:15 to 6:15 p.m. That is canceled. Friday open swim, May 3rd, 6 to 7 p.m. canceled. And all swims on Saturday, May 4th are canceled. Again, folks, Parks and Rec is conducting lifeguard training this week. City and Borough of Wrangell has a few job opportunities. Wrangell Police Department Correctional Officer Dispatch. The City and Borough of Wrangell is accepting applications of employment for the position of Correctional Officer Dispatch through May 22nd at 5 p.m. This is a permanent position with all city and borough benefits. It's a full-time hourly position with full benefits. A background check and pre-employment drug screening are required, as well as other prerequisites. Applications and job descriptions may be obtained or returned to Rob Marshall at City Hall, 205 Bruger Street, P.O. Box 531, Wrangell, Alaska, 99929, or via email at rmarshall@wrangell.com. City and Borough of Wrangell is an equal employment opportunity employer. Wrangell Police Department, Correctional Officer and Dispatch. This is the same information. So again, folks, if you're ever interested in seeing any employment opportunities that City and Borough of Wrangell may be offering, wrangell.com/jobs. City and Borough of Wrangell will accept applications for temporary laborers for the Parks and Rec Department. Employees will be selected from applications in the pool at the time employees are needed throughout the year. You must have a valid Alaska driver's license or a valid out-of-state driver's license with the ability to obtain an Alaska license within 6 months. Applications, job descriptions, and requirements may be obtained and returned to Wrangell City Hall, 205 Bruger Street, P.O. Box 531, Wrangell, Alaska 99929, or via email to rmarshall@wrangell.com. Pay for this position starts at $18 per hour, DOE. City and Borough of Wrangell is an equal employment opportunity employer. Again, wrangell.com/jobs. The stairs leading from Reed Street to McKinnon Street are currently being repaired. Avoid using these stairs while the work is being done. Call Lucy with questions, 907-874-2444. Free community plant workshop with Vivian Yech-Mork in Wrangell today through the 2nd, a plant walk, harvesting and processing class open to all. Location and other specifics are available upon registration. Space is limited. Apply at Community Plant 2024. You can also call 907-586-9112. Again, that's 907-586-9112. Folks, if your day allows for it, you should definitely get with Vivian. She is a plant herbalist extraordinaire, and you may think that you know how to harvest something, utilize something, or whatever have you, but maybe Vivian has another trick you have no idea about, or maybe there is a plant that you didn't even know had some great properties to it. It's always a fun time to get with a professional and learn a little bit about what they have going on too. So that's happening again today and tomorrow. Wrangell Municipal Light and Power Notice. The Light and Power Department will be moving a damaged pole Thursday, May 2nd at 10 p.m. The community should expect a power outage from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. The areas affected by this power outage are Peninsula Street, Burger Street, south end of Panhandle Trailer Court, from the power plant to the end of the pavement. Nolan Center movies this weekend, Friday and Saturday, May 3rd and 4th at 6 p.m. is Kung Fu Panda number 4. And on Sunday, May 5th at 2 p.m., the Parent Teacher Community Club is hosting Migration, open to all Evergreen Elementary School students. Wrangell Public School Board will hold a work session Monday, May 6th in Evergreen Elementary School, Room 101, beginning at 6:30, to review and discuss the superintendent evaluation tool. Although a quorum of the borough will be present, though a quorum of the board, the school board will be present, no official action will be taken. The public is encouraged to attend. Wrangell Parks and Rec is offering a lifeguard course May 2nd through the 5th. The training course qualifies individuals to be hired as lifeguards, which can be a great first-time job or a great part-time position or just a few hours here and there. Parks and Rec is encouraging anyone age 15 and older to take the course. Having lifeguards on staff is necessary for the pool to be open. So if you love to swim, being a lifeguard could help keep the pool open for you and others. Contact Parks and Rec if you're interested in learning more. 907-874-2444. The Interfaith Table of Wrangell is sponsoring a National Day of Prayer observance Thursday, May 2nd from 6:30 to 7:30 at the Mariners Memorial. Prayers from a variety of traditions will be offered for healing, peace, mourning, and thanksgiving, renewal, hope, and interspersed will be silence and reflective music. All are invited. All are welcome. Saturday, May 4th is tax-free day in Wrangell, thanks to the City and Borough of Wrangell and supported by the Wrangell Chamber of Commerce. Are you a senior that could use some assistance with technology? Become a tech-savvy senior with help from Wrangell High School Student Government. Meet at the library on Saturday, May 4th from 10 a.m. to noon. Get help from teens on using phones, computers, email, social media, and more. Bring your devices, phones, computers, etc. Bring your questions. Let the student government teens help you figure it out. Bring your passwords. I know that you all have a little notebook with all of your passwords and all of your logins and all of that, so make sure to bring it with you. And remember to make sure to write down the issues that you've been having so you don't forget anything. And, I just think that this is a really great program. I know the seniors in my life utilize my basic tech savvy skills, so quite often.